We are just moments away from knowing who and when the Kansas City Chiefs will play as their opponents in the 2022 NFL season. Welcome into the Sports Radio 810 WHB schedule preview show. I'm Josh Abriscoe here in studio with you from now until 10 o'clock tonight. We're going hard on the Chiefs' new schedule. Rudy Salazar on the other side of the glass. We will take a look at what we know so far, what we think we might know. We've got a couple of leaks and rumblings and murmurings and all of that. We do know the first four games for the Chiefs right now. The schedule has been kind of not even leaked out, because that sort of implies that there's a plan that has come behind what the team and the NFL has done to get everything out. You know, that's a leak. Maybe you got scooped. In this case, the Chiefs, the league, other teams have just been sort of one by one working their way down their schedule. So one way or another, we know the Chiefs' first four matchups in the 2022 NFL season. They will open on the road against the Arizona Cardinals. No DeAndre Hopkins in that game, as he'll be serving his suspension. So the Chiefs do get a bit of a dilapidated receiving core for the Arizona Cardinals. But they then follow that up with the previously announced Week 2 Amazon Prime Thursday Night Football game against the Los Angeles Chargers. That's in Kansas City. Obviously, you want to be the home team on a short week, and kind of wild to have your short week be the first, like, full week of the NFL season. It'll be a very, very quick turnaround as they go from Arizona back to Kansas City to take on the Chargers in Week 2 at home for Thursday Night Football. Then in week three, they will hit the road one more time to go take on Matt Ryan's Indianapolis Colts. He'll be in his third game, presumably, then, hopefully, you know, assuming everybody stays healthy and whatnot. Matt Ryan will be quarterback in the Colts in Week 3 in Indy. And then in Week 4, this game at one point looked like a near lock to be taking place somewhere in Germany. Not the case. The Chiefs will go to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers in a Super Bowl rematch. Obviously not this last year's Super Bowl, but 2 years prior. And Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady will go head-to-head once again, maybe for the last time. Maybe they'll face off in the Super Bowl, and then Tom Brady will go to the Dolphins, and then they'll play again in the AFC next year. Who's to say? I'm not here to predict how much longer Tom Brady's playing, because I would have gotten that bet wrong. I don't know. 10 distinctly different times at this point. But that is what we do know. Cardinals, Chargers, Colts, Buccaneers, your weeks 1 through 4, 3 of those on the road. The other, the home game against the Chargers, will be a short week on Thursday Night Football. So no gifts in the Chiefs' schedule to this point. We will, again, keep an eye on that to make sure that all of that does, you know, that all lines up. Again, the Cardinals and Chargers and Buccaneers games have all been confirmed by the Chiefs. That Colts game in Week 3 was tweeted out by the Colts earlier. So we've got confirmation on those four coming from various teams. Just still TBD who the Chiefs will play from Weeks 5 through 18. Remember, it's a 17-game season, an 18-week season, so a bye week to be landing in there somewhere as well. My hunch at this point is that just about 7:00 Central Standard Time, I believe, we'll start getting the full stream of everything, and most likely we'll have a pretty good idea very shortly after the top of the hour. Again, I'm Josh Abriscoe with Rudy Salazar. We'll be joined over the remainder of the show by Harold Kuntz of Fox 4, Robert Remsen of Fox 4, and Matt Verderam of FanSided. They will join us at about, excuse me, at about 7:25, 8 o'clock, and 9, respectively, in that order. So we'll see what those three guys all think about the schedule as it comes together, and we'll go match by match, if you'd like. Maybe we even give you a quick 17 game preview of what the Chiefs' record will be, because we're gonna know pretty factually by the end of this, right? I mean, within the next 5 minutes, I think I'm gonna be able to tell you, take it to Vegas if you want, or just take it to the Kansas side, and you can decide what over unders you like after the Chiefs' schedule is laid out. It's kind of funny because we knew the opponents the Chiefs are going to be playing already. Like, we definitively know who they're playing. How much can the order of operations actually impact things, though? And that's what we're going to figure out tonight and over the course of the next few hours. Three road games and a Thursday night game is a very tough way to open your first act of the season, your first quarter of the year. But then, you know, is there a world where maybe you catch a break going up against another contender, or you're playing back-to-back home games because you started with three out of four on the road? Also worth noting, this is a year where the Chiefs will have an extra road game. They've got 8 home games and 9 road games, so you're going to look at this and go, boy, I feel like they're on the road a lot. They are. In fact, it seems at this point like a bit of a certainty that they're gonna have, you would think, at least a couple back-to-backs on the road. Again, we'll keep an eye on that. But then the short weeks, the primetime games and all of that, those are all things that we will discover in the next, probably the next 5 minutes or so. So again, we'll be here with you as the news breaks, coming up very, very shortly, and we'll be with you all the way until 10 o'clock here tonight. I'm not sure what you said there. Rudy gave me some important piece of information, but I missed it.
You're fine. I was just, I'm going to time you out at the end of the hour. We'll just hit 7 at the top, clean.
And then hear what Westwood One has to say, right? Is that what the Westwood One,
potentially
feeding everything? So, okay, so here's the other thing. So we got those three guests
coming with you
tonight.
We'll see.
Could be me. Otherwise, we will try to bring you Westwood One's coverage of the schedule release here at some point, as we'll kind of tag in and out with them and let them bring you some of the pomp and circumstance. Presumably, we're going to do that. But of course, you know, whenever they get to a point where maybe they're talking about the Jets' schedule, we will be talking about the Chiefs' schedule here. So that's what I'm here for. That's what the guests will be here for. That's what Rudy is here for. And all of our coverage breaking down the Chiefs' 2022 schedule is all brought to you by Tickets for Less. Whether you're looking to go to the home opener on September 15th or any of the other 7 home games, Tickets for Less is your source for tickets with zero per ticket fees, saving you big over those other sites. Don't mess around with those other sites. Go to ticketsforless.com. They'll have all of the options, all of the home games, and whenever you decide, hey, I know the dates and times now, I'm going to try to go see in prime time against the Chiefs. Have the Bengals and the Bills. They have a absolute murderer's row here. In fact, by Vegas odds over-unders, the Chiefs have pretty clearly the toughest schedule in the NFL this year. That's, again, by the opponents that we know of already. Are they going to catch a break in the order that everything unfolds? Hard to say. But again, as we stand right now, Cardinals, Chargers, Colts, Buccaneers will be the first 4 for the Chiefs. That we do know officially. That has been confirmed. And then the Chargers is the only of those games that will be taking place at Arrowhead. And again, that's on a short week. So definitely a primetime matchup there. We will find out as we go. The times, the networks, the crews, all of that will be able to begin projecting or begin booking your tickets at ticketsforless.com if you want to keep an eye on what everything could be there that plays out. Again, I think I'm keeping an eye not just on the AFC West games, but that Bills game at Arrowhead will surely be a barn burner. The Titans coming to Arrowhead, I'm a little bit low on the Titans, perhaps, in the grand scheme of things, but still a certainly an AFC contender. They get the Rams and the Bengals, both of last year's Super Bowl teams and, of course, the champions. They will get the Rams at home at some point, and they will travel to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals, obviously a team that has recently given the Chiefs back-to-back nightmares in their last 2 matchups. Plus, also, an NFC trip with the Seahawks. You know, maybe Drew Locke is coming back to Arrowhead Stadium. I don't know. I won't hold my breath on that one, but there's a lot to be seeing here just around the corner. We'll hand you over to Westwood One's introduction here very shortly of the 2022 NFL schedule release, and we'll break down all the Chiefs' side of the action right on the other side of this quick timeout. The 2022 schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs has been released. Would you like to hear it? Yes, indeed, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the schedule release show, as we are here with 17 games, 17 dates, and a bye week pretty much smack dab in the middle. Here is what we've got. James Palmer of NFL Network was right on top of it, right at 7. He launched it all straight into the stratosphere. So we have the Kansas City Chiefs 2022 schedule. It will begin, as we previously discussed, Chiefs at Cardinals, 325 on CBS. That's week one on September 11th. Week two, just a few days later, September 15th, the Chiefs will host the Los Angeles Chargers on Thursday Night Football. That is at 7:15 p.m. Central Time. That is on Amazon Prime Video. There should also be local broadcasts of that as well. September 25th, they get about a week and a half to recoup after the Chargers game before heading to the Indianapolis Colts. That's a noon game on CBS. Obviously, a lot of these are liable to be adjusted later on. This is just as they're planned out right now. Then the new stuff, one more that we did know already, October 2nd at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's primetime, baby. That is Sunday Night Football on NBC, Chiefs at Bucks in week four. They go back-to-back primetime, the Chiefs do, because in week five, October 10th, this is the new information from here on out, October 10th, that is a Monday, the Chiefs will be taking on the Las Vegas Raiders at Arrowhead. That is Monday Night Football on ESPN, Chiefs-Raiders. That'll be a good one, I think. I think Arrowhead will be ready for that. Monday Night Football, Chiefs Raiders, October 10th. Mark your calendars. Then week six is October 16th. The Chiefs and Bills currently locked in to 325 on CBS. That's a primetime caliber matchup. I'm sure that CBS has locked that in as their primetime choice. So we'll get almost certainly the A team there on CBS in week six. Then in week seven, October 23rd, they travel to the San Francisco 49ers. That's an afternoon game on Fox. One of three games on Fox, which makes sense because they play a lot of NFC West teams. We'll get more to that in a second. Week eight, book your vacations. Week eight's the bye week for the Chiefs, so they get a bye within the first half of the schedule, but pretty near the middle. I don't think there's maybe you'd rather have it be a couple weeks later, but you can live with that. And then coming off the bye, the Chiefs go back to primetime. Now, again, from here on out, these are subject to change. The Buccaneers game would be... No, that's week four. So after week five through week 15, you get flex scheduling. So there's a chance it doesn't go down this way. But right now, the Chiefs are scheduled to host the Tennessee Titans on Sunday Night Football on November 6th. That's week nine. Chiefs-Titans off a bye, prime time. That feels like a good draw for the Chiefs. Then after that, the only second noon game so far. They'll play week three at noon, and then in week 10, they will play at noon on CBS against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Week 11, November 20th, at the Los Angeles Chargers. That's at 3:25 on CBS. So again, not a lot of noon action for the Chiefs, because they're a primetime team now. So it's November 20th at the Chargers, 3:25. And then on November 27th, it's LA again, but at home, the Chiefs will play against the Rams in Arrowhead. That's an afternoon game, 3:25 on Fox. Then it's December 4th. The Chiefs travel to Cincinnati for another matchup, another December late season matchup with the Cincinnati Bengals. That is December 4th at 3:25. On December 11th, the Chiefs are at the Broncos. That's currently scheduled to be a Sunday Night Football game as well. Another primetime game there for the Chiefs. Chiefs at Russell Wilson's Denver Broncos, I might add. So if you're thinking, boy, is that a primetime game for week 14? Sure is in this case. Chiefs at Broncos should be a lot of fun if the Broncos are able to live up to their hype. Also, you might note, that's the first matchup between the Chiefs and Broncos. They will not play until December. That's wild. They play again a couple weeks later. But on the 18th, they follow up the primetime game with the Broncos by traveling to Houston. That's a noon game on CBS. Should hopefully be a workmanlike game for the Chiefs at that point. Then Christmas Eve. Could have gotten a Christmas Day game from the Chiefs. Didn't. Good schedule, everybody. That makes me happy. The Chiefs will play on Christmas Eve against the Seattle Seahawks. Christmas Eve at Arrowhead. Now, that is a noon game, so if you got Christmas Eve plans, your schedule's all good. That is a Saturday, though. So, Saturday, Christmas Eve at noon. Chiefs Seahawks on Fox. That's a weird one. That one's just going to feel strange. Drew Lock / Geno Smith's Seattle Seahawks, Christmas Eve, Week 16, noon on Fox. Again, that is a Saturday game. I'm assuming that's what SAT means right there. It would be wild if it wasn't. I will double check just to make sure that you can all begin planning your Christmases accordingly. Yep, that's, again, Saturday is Christmas Eve. Sunday is Christmas Day, but the Chiefs will get business taken care of on Christmas Eve there. Then, this will be a turnaround as well. January 1st is a Sunday. The Chiefs will play the Broncos at noon on CBS. So if you're up at midnight ringing in the new year, make sure you're ready to go by noon on January 1st, because that's when the Chiefs and Broncos will play for the second time. And then in Week 18, they close out the year against the Las Vegas Raiders in Vegas. Although currently that game has a bit of a flex designation right now. According to James Palmer's schedule, you've got the 7th or 8th where the Chiefs can be at the Raiders. Network and time, both TBD. But we could see them playing on the Saturday again or on Sunday the 8th. But there you have it. There is your 17 games, 18 weeks. I think the noteworthy ones around the holiday season, at least just in terms of, you know, planning your life, is the Seattle Seahawks, and we'll be at Arrowhead on Christmas Eve, and then on January 1st, also at home. So no traveling on those games, which might be nice. Christmas Eve's at home. January 1st is at home. Those are against the Seahawks and Broncos in back-to-back weeks. The rest of it, again, I'll just read you down the whole list one more time as we confirm these. And we'll also bring you a little bit of Westwood One. We'll be joined by Harold Kuntz in about 10 minutes. So we'll talk about all this here very shortly. Do you have something you want to add, Rudy, before I go down the list again?
Yeah, it's just obviously this is an impossible thing to tell you quietly. In about 2 to 4 minutes, however long this break is, whenever they come back, they will be joined by Kevin Hartlin to talk about the Monday Night Football schedule. So
there we go. So just give me a fair catch signal whenever Kevin Harlan's on Westwood One. We'd love to hear from him. Plus, if we see, you know, Andy Reid on any of these TV channels in here, anything on any of the schedule release shows or whatnot, we'll try to bring you that as well. But here's one more time the Chiefs schedule, also the preseason schedule, by the way, at the Bears, hosting Washington, and then also hosting Green Bay. So Chicago, Washington, Green Bay, your 3 preseason games. No info on the dates or times on that one, but we're pending more info on that. Weeks 1 through 18, you're just going to have to trust me. I'm just going to give you the locations and where and who they're playing. If you want the details of the times and the networks, that's all up on the Sports Radio 810 Twitter already. But here's how it will go from Week 1 through Week 18. At Arizona Cardinals, home versus the Los Angeles Chargers, Thursday Night Football. At Indianapolis Colts. At Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Sunday Night Football. Las Vegas Raiders, Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills. At San Francisco 49ers, bye week in Week 8. Then back to the games here in Week 9. Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars. At Titans is also Sunday Night Football. At Los Angeles Chargers, Los Angeles Rams, Cincinnati Bengals. Excuse me, that's at Cincinnati. At Denver Broncos, Sunday Night Football. At Houston Texans, Seattle Seahawks, Christmas Eve, Saturday, Denver Broncos, New Year's Day, and then at Las Vegas Raiders with a game still to be determined there. So there you've got it. We have 18 weeks, 17 games. You heard it here first. And I will say first, because we got you the schedule like 8 minutes, but not 8 minutes. A few minutes before the Chiefs put it out there, we brought it to you. So we'll hear from Kevin Harlan very shortly. I'm sure he will have something to say about the. Is he talking about the Monday night slate on Westwood One?
Yeah, because since he is the Monday night football announcer for Westwood One, and then also the Super Bowl for Westwood One.
And so the Chiefs will certainly be a topic of conversation there. Their Monday night game against the Raiders is pretty early on there in Week 5. Also, you can frequently hear, of course, Kevin Harlan right here on the program with Sarin Petro here on Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City. I just genuinely really think that Kevin Harlan is I was gonna say about as good as it gets, but I think that's underselling how I feel about Kevin Harlan. Is as good as it gets.
Don't think people like I think you said that about other people who are not as good as Kevin Harlan are. It's about as good as it gets, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, for like
I'm not trying to name names right now, honestly.
You know, a guy who I'm going to throw him under the bus just because I actually really like him. I think he's very good. Kind of like Kevin Harlan like because he does a lot of stuff.
Is this Ian Eagle?
No, Spiro Dedes. Spiro Dedes is pretty good. Does football and basketball like Kevin Harlan. No, he's not Kevin Harlan.
I like Spiro. I like Ian Eagle. Kevin Harlan's a different breed, man.
Different.
He's just built. He's simply built different. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing what he has to say about this Monday night slate. And then later we'll be joined by Harold Kuntz of Fox 4, Robert Remsen of Fox 4, and Matt Verderame of FanSided to get the Chiefs angle. But here's Kevin Harlan live on Westwood One previewing the Monday night football slate.
The Seattle Seahawks got a big victory in New York. Way to a Super Bowl title behind Russell Wilson, who threw that pass, but is a Seattle Seahawk no more. We continue here as we take a look ahead now at the schedule that has been released for the 2022 season alongside Mike Golick, Scott Graham. And Mike, the first game on the Monday Night Football slate for this year has those Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson going back to Seattle right out of the chute to take on the Seahawks.
Well, I mean, let's really look at this thing. And I know first games are tough coming out of the gate right out of preseason, but you look at the makeup, Seattle is certainly in a rebuild mode without question with what they did in the offseason. And Denver is loaded. That AFC West could be what we thought the NFC West was going to be last year, the best division in all of football. So this should be a heavy, heavy favorite for Russell Wilson and the Broncos.
You look at the rest of the Monday Night Football schedule, and we've got something different, interesting, and something telling us what the future is going to look like in Week 2. That's the Tennessee Titans at the Buffalo Bills beginning at 7:15 Eastern Time. And the second part of the doubleheader beginning just an hour and 15 minutes later. The Minnesota Vikings and the Philadelphia Eagles, which will start around halftime of the Tennessee-Buffalo game. We're going to see more of that moving into the future. Week 3 has Dallas at the New York Giants. Week 4, the Los Angeles Rams at the San Francisco 49ers. Week 5, great AFC matchup, longtime rivals, the Las Vegas Raiders visiting Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Week 6, it's the Broncos again in Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. Week 7 has the Chicago Bears at the New England Patriots. That's a Super Bowl rematch. There are 12 of them, by the way, on the schedule this year. Cincinnati Bengals at the Cleveland Browns in Week 8. The Baltimore Ravens go to New Orleans to take on the Saints in Week 9. Week 10 takes you to the NFC East with the Washington Commanders at the Philadelphia Eagles. Mexico City is the venue for Week 11, the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. Pittsburgh Steelers go to Indy to take on the Colts in Week 12. The Saints at the Buccaneers in Week 13. Patriots at the Cardinals in Week 14. The Rams at the Packers in Week 15. What a game that is. Chargers will be in Indy to take on the Colts in Week 16. And the Buffalo Bills at the Cincinnati Bengals. That will be the final Monday night game in Week 17 on January the 2nd. There are all kinds of storylines and heavy hitters that we're finding throughout that. We're joined now by a guy who's going to be calling Monday Night Football for us here on Westwood One for the 13th year, and also the guy that you hear at the microphone for the Super Bowl. Our good friend Kevin Harlan has joined us. Kevin, how you doing?
Scott, when I hear your voice, man, I'm thinking NFL. So it's great being on with you and Mike. And my first look at this schedule tells me it's probably the best Monday night schedule they've ever come up with. The league clearly is putting marquee games in the prime spots on Sunday night on Westwood One, Thursday night on Westwood One, and Monday night. And the Monday night schedule, I can honestly say on paper, as we sit here, you know, a couple months before the opening of training camp, but right in the middle of all these mini camps and rookies getting acclimated and, you know, new faces in other towns like Russell Wilson, you're talking about now in Denver. This is the best Monday night schedule I can ever recall. I can't wait to get started.
Funny part about all this, Kevin, is there's still such a sizzle to what Monday night football is. And now we're going to find out a little bit more about it as the double headers are changing a little bit moving forward. That's going to actually expand moving into next year. But in all of these years, the drama of what is Monday night football has never waned.
It hasn't. You know, it was so unique when ABC began it and Howard Cosell was on that initial broadcast. I think it was in Cleveland, actually, and the Jets and Joe Namath were playing in Old Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. And it was something that people thought would never take off. And at the end of that first season back in there, I think in 1971, people said, oh, my God, why didn't we do this earlier? And sure enough, it has been one of the posts of the successful NFL media blitz, whether on TV or radio. That Monday night game has regained a lot of its luster. Now, listen, the league is as compelling as it's ever been when you've got the kind of movement we've had, whether Stafford from Detroit to L.A., or this year Russell Wilson on to Denver from Seattle. It just seems like the league is always looking for that angle. We've got past Super Bowl matchups. We've got the defending Super Bowl champion on many national appearances on Monday night on Westwood One. And we're in Green Bay at Lambeau. We've got the Dallas Cowboys. Everywhere you look on that roster from tip to tail has an intriguing story to it. So it really, I think the NFL has probably nailed this with a great opening touchdown pass to get this kind of schedule and the compelling matchups they've got all these weeks, including the game in Mexico City. I mean, everywhere you look, it's a terrific talked about game that will, I think, really continue throughout the season, regardless of an injury or a change or whatever may happen. These games can stand on their own as they stand here, you know, months before the regular season even kicks off.
Man, you really have me reminiscing about Howard Cosell when I was a kid and begging to stay up through the halftime highlights before I had to go to bed
right.
to go to school. I mean, it's great. Scott, I know you were an adult then, so you didn't have to deal with it as a kid. Sorry about that. But as far, you know, we started about the Broncos. They're on twice, that opening night and then in October as well, the 17th, against the Chargers. And you have John Elway saying this time around, Kevin, that Russell Wilson is the piece that we needed. Well, he's been looking for the piece that they've needed since Peyton Manning left that place. You got to wonder if there's more pressure on Russell Wilson or John Elway at this point.
Well, obviously they're under a microscope that has now got a much more fine lens to look at everything they have done. They've added the right kind of parts, but listen, the whole division has. Raiders, and they're on Monday Night Football. The Raiders have added good parts. Kansas City's as strong as they've always been. But now everything around them has strengthened. The Chargers have built up their defense, and they've helped their offensive line. And, of course, they've got Herbert as a quarterback. And like I said, everywhere you look, there is strength. The AFC West in particular seems to be as strong as we could possibly imagine. And then I see Pete Carroll talk about his Seattle team and says, if Drew Lock were coming out in this year's draft, he may have been the number one overall pick. And that who is going to be quarterbacking the Seattle Seahawks. So that place will be revved up. They've got as loud a venue as any in pro football. And that night, welcoming back a hero from their past. But for that night, they're going to be cheering on Locke and Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. And the emotion in that stadium will be off the charts. What a great way to start the season.
You take a look at the team that played in the Super Bowl last year, certainly an up-and-coming team in the Cincinnati Bengals. They've got the Browns in Week 8 in Cleveland, and then I don't know if you can come up with a better game. This could be for number one overall seed in Week 17 as they host the Buffalo Bills.
Absolutely, and we'll see Buffalo on the opening game on our Western One schedule to open up the entire season, and what a lot of people are projecting now could be the Super Bowl. And that is Buffalo at the L.A. Rams. That'll be on that opening Thursday night. That'll be incredible. And the whole country will be tuned in that night. But the Bengals, I think, have proven that you can go from 4 wins to 11 or 12 in the snap of a finger if you've made the right moves and if everything projects the way you see it. And that's the way the Bengals got to where they are. They've got the quarterback. But look at Scott and Mike. Look at the quarterbacks that'll be on Monday night and look what they've accomplished and what they're aiming for this year. A lot of hungry teams out there knowing that they're on the clock, and that always brings out the best. And we got Kansas City, of course, in Kansas City early in the season. We'll be at Lambeau late in the season. The Cowboys got a date in New York against the Giants, and that's always good. Those matchups within the division are always compelling. And then Jalen Hurts at Philadelphia. Listen, the Eagles are going to be a story this year, and there's a brand-new coach in New Orleans, and we're waiting to see who's going to be the quarterback. But Jameis Winston, before he was injured, was off to a terrific start to this season, and then he blew the knee. So, you know, we're going to see the Buccaneers, we're going to see the Saints, and we're going to see all the terrific teams from coast to coast. And it's going to be, I think, a fabulous run. And the NFL, I think, is buckled up for what could be their most competitive season they've had. And we've seen some great seasons. But this one, the way the parts have maneuvered, the draft choices that have been selected, and the free agents that have been signed gives this season, I think, the kind of punch that it's going to be must-listen to games.
Kevin, always enjoy talking to you, especially when we get a chance to do it in May. Looking forward to hearing you call that first game when we get to September 8th, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Great to be on with you, and we can't wait. We're so excited. Take care.
Thanks, Kevin.
There is Kevin Harlan.
There's Kevin Harlan on Westwood One coverage of the 2022 NFL schedule release. I am Josh Abrisco here in the studio with you on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The schedule is out. We do have the Chiefs' full roster of opponents. Also, the currently scheduled primetime games. The whole shebang, starting 3 out of 4 on the road. Thursday Night Football Week 2. Monday Night Football in Week 5. Sunday Night Football back in Week 4. So they start this season road, home, road, road. And also within those first 5 games, 3 primetime matchups in the first 5 weeks for the Chiefs. Thursday Night Football in Week 2, Sunday Night Football in Week 4, Monday Night Football against the Las Vegas Raiders in Week 5. We'll take a break here on Sports Radio 810. But first, I'll tell you that all of our coverage of all of the Chiefs' schedule release here is brought to you by Tickets for Less, which makes sense. Think about this, everybody. You want to go to a couple of the games, maybe go to the home opener against the Arizona Cardinals or any of the other 7 home games? Tickets for Less has got you. They're your source for tickets with 0 per ticket fees, saving you big over those other sites. Don't mess around with those other sites. Tickets for Less is right here, and they're tickets for you. Don't go to ticketsforyou.com. Go to ticketsforless.com. Ignore those other sites and go lock up your tickets for the Chiefs home opener against the Cardinals. Anything you need all season long to get out to Arrowhead. Go to ticketsforless.com. Welcome back into the Sports Radio 810 WHB NFL schedule release special. I'm Josh Abrisco here with you breaking down what we now know as the Chiefs opponents have been set, as have the dates, the times, the networks, primetime, noon, wherever. We've got our current, you know, flexible kickoffs notwithstanding. We've got our current status of what the Chiefs will be doing here in 2022. Now joining us to talk about it all, Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 here in Kansas City. Harold, are you booking plane tickets right now? Are you scribbling through your 17 game prediction? Are you trying to get to the Kansas side to begin betting on the Chiefs over under as quickly as possible? What's going on right now?
All of the above right now, I think, but more priority on the plane ticket thing. We're trying to convince our bosses, hey, I think we should go to this game, maybe not this game, but this game. So yeah. Also, I've been mystified by the anime performance for the Chargers Twitter account as well.
The only real drawback of being on the air right now is that I've not yet had time to watch that, which is really crushing me because everybody I follow has said something incredible about it. Can you deliver a brief description of what the Chargers did in their schedule release?
Well, the Chargers schedule release is basically anime. Literally, they did their entire thing on anime. They have, like, Andy Reid and Brendan Staley and cartoon figures that look weird and, you know, like, yeah, got like Mahomes and Herbert looking like they're about to fight, like an anime fight. Also, the Detroit Lions, I believe. They've got, you know, the meme guy, the security guy, the self-defense, that those memes. They've got him doing their entire thing, basically. And that's pretty funny.
Incredible.
It's a rare win for the Detroit Lions football organization.
I think this might be the this might be the best part of the schedule release process, which is that you've got teams doing pretty good work. We haven't played it yet. We will later. For the Chiefs, they didn't go high production value. I'll give you that. It's literally just Andy Reid reading and reacting to the schedule. Even that was pretty good. Lower effort, but, you know, charming.
Well, and I watched that too, and it's the best part about it, I think, when Andy Reid says, doggone, we got 3 road games in a row. Like, you can tell, I don't think that was acting. That was like, holy crap, we got 3 road games in a row. Because he was like, Cincinnati, Denver, Houston.
I think somewhere in there, yeah. There's just a lot of good Andy Reid interjections. So we'll play that audio later on. Is there a matchup that jumps out to you at this point where you go, oh man, that right there, that's got me revved up already. I just got revved up in May.
I tell you, the first 4 is intriguing. Mm-hmm. Right out the gate. I mean, we already knew this was going to be one of the hardest schedules. I think some people have them as a top 5 hardest schedule. It could be harder depending upon, you know, when they factor in last year's records, and of course this year you factor in that Denver obviously will be improved, and a couple other teams will be too. But when you, I mean, you start off with Arizona is not an easy trip.
Mm-hmm.
They always play well at the beginning, And then you got a really quick turnaround because you factor in, by the time you get back to Kansas City, you basically lost Sunday. And you're right into it Thursday night, Chargers, hyped up. And then at least you got days to prepare for a Colts team that you don't know what they're getting with Matt Ryan. And then you get the Bucks on the road. You get three of the first four games on the road. And that's a tough little stretch right there. So, it doesn't end. I mean, you know, Raiders, Bills, who knows what's happening with the Niners until the bye week. So, it's a tough schedule all around. I don't think you can really put it into, well, this is a tough stretch or this is a tough stretch, because I think they're all tough stretches.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have like a Jaguars game sprinkled in, but then you go Chargers, Rams, Bengals.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see Houston, but then you see it's sandwiched in between Denver and then what happens with an unpredictable Seattle team, and then a very important Denver game. So, it's exactly what it is as advertised. You knew the opponents before today.
Yep.
And now that you see the order, you're just like, yep, this is just going to be tough. It's going to be a tough one.
It's funny, the Broncos late season sandwiching, I think this was the case with the Chargers, not last year, because they played the Chargers in week three, maybe 2 years ago. There was a time recently where the Chiefs had two AFC West opponents really late in the year. This one's even worse, though, because week 14 and week 17 against the Broncos, I mean, by then the AFC West is going to have a pretty obvious tint to it, or a tilt to it, or you know, you're going to have an idea of where the division's at by week 14, and we're going to get to week 14 and 17 and not have seen Russell Wilson play football against the Chiefs yet. That's bonkers. Also, kind of interesting, those are going to be a couple of cold games. Russell Wilson's probably had some successful outdoor cold excursions, I'm sure, but...
Pretty warm in Wisconsin.
But, right, fair enough. But December 11th, in Denver, and then New Year's Day at Arrowhead, kind of an interesting little stack there.
Let's not forget Christmas Eve.
Let me ask you, Harold Kuntz, man who covers sports for a living. The biggest win on the schedule is that they're playing Christmas Eve at noon on a Saturday, right? That to me felt like cause for celebration.
Yeah, I figured. Honestly, when I was looking at the teams they're playing, I was like, where are the noon games? Because it's now fun to figure out where the noon games are on the schedule, because they don't play as many of them anymore. And you're like, all right, well, Jacksonville's going to be noon. You know, Houston's going to be noon. I had a feeling Indianapolis was noon. I was like, I bet Seattle's noon, even though Seattle's probably ticked off they got to play a noon game. Mm-hmm. But, look, the Seahawks used to be in the AFC West, for people who are old enough to remember that. And they used to play a lot of noon games at Arrowhead. So, same follow suit here. I think, noon game, Christmas Eve, you get out of there. As Andy Reid said, you get to see the grandkids. So, just get out of there. Everyone's happy. Let's be honest. The teams that got put on Christmas Day, they're the ones that are like, really, we got to do this on Christmas Day.
Yes.
Christmas Eve, noon, best way to get out of it.
Yeah, I feel good about that. New Year's Day at noon, gonna be a quick turnaround. As somebody who ideally would probably still be asleep very close to noon on New Year's Day, we sometimes you got to have a rip roar in New Year's Eve party. We're going to find the real gladiators, I think, in that turnaround. And I'm prepared to rise to the challenge, in part just out of pure gratitude for the Christmas Eve game. You might just keep the tux on New Year's Eve into New Year's Day. You could do the pregame show full tux on Sunday.
I could. I think that's a great idea, actually. I usually do it New Year's Eve with the tuxedo, but we might carry it over to January 1st. It'll look weird if we're back in the locker room after the game, and of course I'll be in there in a freaking tuxedo trying to interview Chris Jones. But, hey, Chris, what do you think about the game? Chris is supposed to be like, what the hell are you wearing a tuxedo for? But no, we can look into that. I think that might be doable. That might be doable.
Look, I am 100% sure that I will be wearing the same clothes I was wearing the night before at that moment. So I just think that if you did it, it would look better than whatever short-sleeved hoodie I'll be wearing as I, waddle in here at 11:55.
Amazing, though, that the last scheduled home game, it's scheduled for noon on January 1st. And who knows what everybody's been doing the night before.
Yeah.
So people are just going to scraggle into Arrowhead and be like, oh, there's a football game? Oh, it's the Broncos. Oh, we have to take it serious this year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Crap.
Is Arrowhead on New Year's Day at noon? Is it going to be absolutely rip-roaring, or is it going to be a little hungover? I don't feel like we get hungover Arrowhead very often.
Well, I mean, we do get a little bit of hungover Arrowhead. Depends upon how much you've had in the parking lot.
Fair enough.
but I will say, like, if you get into that game, let's just say both teams are, like, 12-3, you know, 11-5 or something going into that, you're like, oh, or 11-4 or something like that, you're like, oh, yeah, this is serious. Now, that being said, the potential of that game being flexed to 345 or 325 would be very high if both teams are have that good of a record at that time. So I always take the last 3 weeks in stride because, you know, at one point or another, those things are going to be moved to Sunday or moved to, like, you know, they'll switch to Christmas game. Who knows what will happen? Now, they can't switch to Christmas games, but, you know, they can easily switch it to three. It's like, well, the Seahawks were actually better than we thought. All right, make it a 325 game. Yeah. It's like, or, you know, the suits over at Sunday Night Football say, you know what, we'll take that game too. Now, I doubt they can take two Denver Broncos games because they already got a Sunday Night game week 14 with the Broncos. But so I doubt they'll be allowed to take two. So, but they could totally put that to a 325 depending upon those standings.
Let's zoom out a little bit and just kind of look at the division as a whole. Obviously, a huge, huge, huge story of this offseason is all the different moving and shaking the AFC West did, both in the quarterback department, the wide receiver department, the pass rusher department. And also, we haven't talked since the Chiefs drafted all the players they brought in, so I want to come back to them in a second. But draft notwithstanding, when you look at the rest of the AFC West, now that we do have the schedule, how do you feel about how this division's playing out?
I mean, there's a reason why all four of those teams have the toughest schedules in the league. Not only are they playing the NFC West teams, but they're playing each other. I think the Denver didn't really pay too much attention to the draft simply because their draft was Russell Wilson. And obviously the Raiders do weird things, but the Chargers added a lot in the free agency. And that was, I mean, what you're seeing is the difference of the Chiefs decided, all right, we're going to get these guys their draft, like, you know, Trent McDuffie and George Karloftis and everybody that fills a spot of need. Darian Kennard, you know, might need to meet him at right tackle depending upon what they do with Lucas Niang. And they got spots where they need, and they got younger, and they got a little bit cheaper, so they get under the cap. Everybody else is broke. They're going for it. They went broke. So this is really a challenge of philosophies. How do teams that went broke for it, basically, like the Chargers did and the Broncos did, say, how do they compete against a team that's, you know, might be willing to take a couple lumps, but we'll see how it goes. We rely on 15, and wherever he goes, we follow. That's really the big, you know, intersection of what's going on this upcoming season. But, I mean, I got to admit, I mean, there's a lot of hype about Denver. I mean, if you look at the way their schedule's lined up with all the primetime appearances and everything, like, the NFL really thinks that Russell Wilson is making that big of a difference for them. Mm. You can just look at all the primetime spots they have. So, if you look at the primetime spots the Chargers have, I mean, they put them on a lot. I mean, they filled up all their gambit of primetime games. So it really gets to a point where you think to yourself, wow, the NFL really thinks this is their year. Then, well, you know, I mean, AFC West has basically become the new NFC East in terms of viability and viewership. You know, like nobody's really clamoring to watch that Cowboys-Eagles game anymore, but people are clamoring to watch Chiefs-Chargers or Chiefs-Broncos or even Broncos-Chargers. I mean, let's not forget the best regular season game of the year last year was the last game of the season between the Chargers and Raiders. So, I mean, the AFC West is it. It's going to be a tough duel, and the fact that you throw the NFC West in there with good teams, like, I mean, I don't care anybody says San Francisco's still a good team. The Rams are obviously coming off the Super Bowl. You know, Seattle's unpredictable, and Arizona, if you get them early in the season, they're really good. So, I mean, now granted, they have the whole DeAndre Hopkins thing, but they're still a pretty good team. Battle of Wills basically toward the end here.
You mentioned a bunch of the draftees also. Again, you know, we're talking about the schedule and all of this, but we know the schedule now. We've gone through some of the game-by-game stuff. I do want to know how you feel like the draft class has impacted what the Chiefs did. Again, as you already mentioned, I mean, it was a different strategy between these teams where The rest of the AFC West went and spent, either in draft capital for a trade or in money free agency, and the Chiefs kind of sold. They send Tyreek Hill to Miami, and they use a ton of those draft picks. So whenever you saw them trade up for Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis falls to 30. They end up with Sky Moore after moving back. Brian Cook. Like, the guys, you mentioned Darian Kennard, which is kind of crazy how much we've talked about him just for a guy who didn't go until day three, but everybody sees as an earlier talent than that. Who are you most excited about? What player do you think is going to be the most fun early on?
I mean, you got to go with Karlaftis. I mean, just because that's really the unit that needs the most help, and he's going to be relied upon day one. I mean, they're talking about McDuffie, Karlaftis, and I mean, you might look at Kennard. I mean, I'm not so sure about Sky Moore because, you know, they already got MVS and Juju there, but I mean, you're looking at these two guys, and maybe Leo Chenault is day one guys, and they're going to be expected to produce it immediately. But I think the one who's got the most on him is Karlaftis because, look, you're getting a Frank Clark back that is, I mean, the Chiefs hope he's near what they got from Seattle Frank Clark, but we know he's not near that level anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jones needs the help. All these guys that have gotten, like Tershawn Wharton, Mike Dana, even Derek Nnadi, I mean, they're trying to provide the help, but they're just not giving him the help they need in the interior. And then, you know, with Frank Clark, it's coming down to Karlaftis. So, I mean, they're hoping they got something out of him. I mean, he's the biggest name that they need. And he filled a need where they need it. You know, he's a good edge rusher. They're already talking about how he goes 100 miles per hour. They have to slow him down to a rookie minicamp. But, I mean, last year I think their pass rush, you know, was in the 50% area, and then, you know, when there's no Jones, I mean, it really gets bad. And you could tell it was affected in the Cincinnati game. So that's the biggest area. Karlaftis is by far and away, to me. I mean, I think it's really by far and away the biggest name because, I mean, the pass rush is going to affect the secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, the secondary could be really good. Like, Trent McDuffie could be great, but I don't care how good you are. Trent McDuffie's not going to be able to contain somebody for 6, 7, 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get to the quarterback. So Karlaftis is by far and away the biggest draft pick for me. He's got to produce. I mean, not to put pressure on him or anything, but, I mean, it's just the way it is. That's the way they're set up right now defensively.
Yeah, it's just the state of this defense and the roster, the depth chart, the decisions they've made to this point. I have a very hard time disagreeing with any of that, which is funny because, like, I think that I would find that, again, I think I would agree with you in terms of, like, who has the most pressure, like, who has the most demanded of them early. I think it's probably Karlaftis. It's funny because that's not the guy they traded up for. We have spent, yep, collectively, yep, we have spent more breath on George Karlaftis and maybe even Sky Moore, and honestly, maybe Darian Kennard, maybe Leo Chenault than we actually have on Trent McDuffie. I don't know if that's because we don't know how to talk about corners. I don't know if it's just because, like, the analysis on Trent McDuffie is, oh, he was definitely good and should be good at the next level. But I was thrilled to see them trade up and draft a corner. I never thought I would see this day. And now we got here, and he kind of got overshadowed by the next, like, 4 or 5 picks after him.
Well, they went back to the Washington. Well, let's remember the last time they picked the Washington Husky.
I'll never forget.
The guy by the name of Marcus Peters.
I will never let him fully leave my heart.
Or yourself.
Well, or my shoes or socks, yeah.
But let's look at the quarterback depth, though. I mean, you got with... That's because you know you've had two guys that you're presuming will be starters in Legarius Sneed and Rashad Fenton.
Mm.
Like, you're just presuming those are the guys. You know it's safety. You've got Juan Thornhill, and you've got Justin Reed. So you're not so much worried about the secondary because it's like, we know who at least the starters are. When we start training camp and say, Joe, you know that you're looking at CB1, CB2, and then two safeties. If you're just looking at basic defense, you look at that, and you're like, all right, that's who we got. So, like, Trent's kind of the guy that's like, we expected to be a number one. You know, in certain packages, of course, and maybe put them ISO'd on Island. We'll see. But you know what you got out of Sneed and Fenton, at least because you've had them for 2 years. And you know you got out of Justin Reed's at least proven himself in the NFL. And, of course, you know what you get out of Juan Thornhill when he's healthy. So I think that's why Karlaftis is such a big key there. I mean, like Sky Moore, yes, everybody wants to put him up there with like offensive rookie of the year conversation, and they're all doing that because of Patrick Mahomes, which is, you know, yep, nice, but let's remember Tyreek Hill, when he got there, he was mostly a punt returner,
yep,
kickoff returner. He evolved into that receiver. I believe that's what they're going to try to do with Sky. I mean, if they're, like, let's not forget, there's still McCole Hardman and MVS and Juju there. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, you know, catches to be spread around the field there, and Sky's not going to get all of them from day one. So, I mean, that's really why it falls on Carl Loftus. That is just really the numbers game more than anything to me. Mm-hmm. That is the reason why he's going to be the most important.
I was going to ask you about Sky Moore next. You just alluded to it, but I really like the pick. I really like the player. I really like the future for Sky Moore. I think at this point, I'm framing it this way. I have too much respect for Andy Reid's offense and what it has done for young receivers, to your point with Tyreek Hill, to Mecole Hardman, to, like, I got to pull up the stats again for, like, Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson. Those guys, I think, were even outliers in their own right. But, man, this is a tough spot for a rookie to come in and produce in year one. I don't think – whenever I'm telling people to take the under on Sky Moore receiving yards this year, that has literally nothing to do with Sky Moore and everything to do with just the situation being a tough one for him to jump into.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, let's look back when they did have a DeMarcus and a Byron and a Tyreek, and then obviously you have Travis Kelce, who's, you know, the big wild card in all of this. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, you're getting out of Travis Kelce, but he's still part of that receiving core. I mean, how often did we hear about DeMarcus Robinson? And he was supposed to be the number two or three, you know? Like, it's just, you know, especially after Sandy left. So, yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes said it best at the beginning when he said, hey, this offense is going to allow me the opportunity to really not just focus on one guy or two guys. It's going to make spread the ball around. So what do you expect? I mean, you know, this team might not get you're going to have a 1,000-yard receiver probably in Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of your wideouts, I mean, like, if you got three guys that get maybe 800, two guys that get 800, one that gets 600, the other one gets 500, I'd see that more along the lines of somebody with 1,000, 200, 1,300, and then the next person's like 450.
Mm.
So, like, I think that's what they're gonna get close to. And again, that's going to force defenses to maybe play a way where Patrick Mahomes can exploit it more instead of them just playing the old two-back shell and making sure Tyreek doesn't run 50, 60 yards down the field and somebody jam up Travis at the line. I mean, yeah, they've got to come up with a new game plan. I mean, the biggest advantage they have coming into this offseason is the film. The film's going to be a lot different. So, and we have no idea what Andy Reid's got up his sleeves, and usually that's a good thing when Andy Reid has you kind of not predicting what they can do. So, and I mean, we saw that, you know, we've seen that over the years with him. I mean, let's go back to Alex Smith. You know, like, that's the type of offense you're going to be like, okay, well, maybe we'll get back to the screen game again. Maybe they'll try to establish the run and be more of a power attack because they want the offensive line that looked very powerful last year and looked like they wanted to run. Like, you could see them visibly when they ran the ball. They looked more entertained, more excited to run that football than they were pass blocking. So, more physical team, bigger wide receivers. It's just going to be a different offense. And where Sky Moore fits in that, yet to be seen. I mean, you could see it being the slot guy, but, I mean, don't expect big numbers. I just expect them to just, like, hey, when you're open and when you're called upon, catch the football and run downfield.
Yeah. I don't know why this just clicked into place when you framed it that way in terms of, like, hey, when you're get open, we'll get you the ball. But I think that that's going to be the MO for this season, I think, and offensively, in terms of, hey, maybe the exception of Kelce, which, you know, understandably. But amongst the wide receivers, I don't think there's necessarily a reason to force the ball to any one of those guys in particular, which is different, right? Like, and I don't want to be revisionist and say, like, oh, that's somehow better than forcing the ball to Tyreek Hill. Look, forcing the ball to Tyreek Hill is not a bad thing to do. That I understand why you would do that given every opportunity. But you do end up at a point where if you can't get the ball to Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce, you are left, I don't know, playing with half the field or whatever. In this instance, you don't force the ball to anybody. You just got to make sure that one of those guys or a couple of those guys is winning on every single play. So would you bet on that working? And to what extent would that be? Again, you even mentioned, hey, are they going to run the ball more this year? This offensive line is a bunch of just, like, absolute grizzly bears mauling dudes. What's your level of confidence in that sort of that evolution of the offense working for the Chiefs?
I think at the initial run, it's going to be good because, again, nobody really knows what they're going to expect. So, you know, you expect defenses to be a little bit more base because they're not going to know exactly what to expect. But as the season progresses, then it really comes down to like, all right, we got to out-talent. And see, that's the Tyreek factor right there. The one thing you knew about Tyreek, there are two things you knew about Tyreek Hill. He was faster than mostly everybody on the field, and you knew he's going to stretch the defense. But you knew those two things coming in. And now, I mean, McColl might say, and MVS is fast, and McColl's fast. Sure, that's great. We just haven't seen it. So initially, it might throw some people off. But as people get prepared, you know, look, those first four opponents that we're talking about, somebody, one of those first four opponents is pretty darn good at defense. And eventually, somebody's going to figure it out.
Mm.
So how do you, again, it's an adjustment league. And in the NFL, it's no less different. How do you make the adjustment to the adjustment? Now, last year, they did not make the adjustment to the adjustment as well as they could have. We saw that in the Cincinnati game, it was very much a microcosm of the season. It's like, hey, they made the adjustment. They're on point. And then another team made the adjustment. And then they're like, what do we do? They've got to make that adjustment. So it comes down to the brass of Reed and Bieniemy and Nagy. You know, you got the three offensive minds there. Make the adjustment. Or else suffer. Because with this schedule, you don't have time to not figure it out. People have made improvements. I mean, they're playing a Jacksonville team that might actually be half decent because they got a legitimate coach,
right,
and they know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
I think Jacksonville might be that team that makes a little bit of a step this year just because they aren't coached by Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that in itself might be worth 3-4 wins. So it's there's no drawbacks. I mean, people are going to figure things out. And, you know, that just really comes down to what their offensive – I mean, I'm not trying to paint a bad story here. I'm just saying, like, this is what it is. So people have gone for broke. Like, you know, you don't think Buffalo gets Von Miller for a reason.
Mm.
You don't think Denver goes out there and tries to fortify their defense for a reason. You don't think the Chargers go out and get Khalil Mack for a reason. Like, people are trying to figure this thing out. So you make the adjustment, you know, like, because there's going to be a lot of – I like the freshness of this season where it's like, okay, a lot of these guys, there's some familiarity value here that's got to be figured out. So we're all kind of base right now. Like, everybody at AFC West is kind of base, and, you know, really throughout the NFL because there's so many different transactions and different places where people are going. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. It really is. I mean, this is the first time you've really gone through the season you thought to yourself, like, okay, well, you're not the surefire Super Bowl favorite.
Mm.
You're obviously one of the favorites, but you're not the surefire favorite. You know, so now you just got to go out and prove it. I mean, those draft picks are key because they're all in key positions that they're all going to end up starting at some point this season. You know, those top five picks they had, they're all going to – Brian Cook's going to start at one point. Sam Moore's going to start at one point. Karlaftis is going to start day one. McDuffie, he's probably going to start at a point. In the season. So, I mean, those guys are all they've invested so much in the quarterbacks because they know what they're facing. Now, granted, I mean, see what happens with Jerry Jeudy, but I just wanted to bring him up for no reason. That's mad at me, but it was a thing that happened. And
he could get a 13-week suspension and not miss a single game against the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, they get lucky with, you know, no DeAndre Hopkins to start the season.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting season, Josh. It really is. I'm really looking forward to it. But I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing, like, competition battle. Like, last year, the competition battle, like, everybody went the same throw, and they're like, well, let's see the offensive line versus defensive line. Now I want to see how the secondary plays against the receivers.
Mm-hmm. God, that's going to – man, yeah. St. Joe's going to be a good time. I mean, you know – judging on a curve, St. Joe's going to be a good time this year with receivers versus defensive backs as, like, the premier matchup to watch. That's going to be good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you force yourself to come up with a record with this schedule being out yet? I don't think I certainly haven't locked one in yet. So no pressure, man, if you haven't. But if you think you've got one, you know, I'd love to just hold you to the record on that one.
Oh, man. Oh, hold to the record. Oh, boy. Ah.
Six and 12, you're thinking? 4-13?
6-11, I know. No.
The 17 game numbers suck. I'm happy to have another real game, but it just feels bad to say 6-11 or 13-4.
I just think there's, like, I don't like the setup with the week two game with the Chargers after that Cardinals game. Oof. I mean, that's tough. I mean, the only good thing about it is if it's week two, you could pretty much put in the Chargers game plan and the Cardinals game plan. Like, you don't, you could just pick it up and go with the Chargers. That's the one good thing about being week two. Now you've got the Thursday game out of the way and everything else, and it's going to be a nice night. You don't have to worry about weather. So you don't have to worry about travel. So, I mean, you got that going for you. But, I mean, there's some tricky setups here. I mean, but I do like the way it plays out in the sense that, and I'll get to the number in a bit here, but I do like the way, in a sense, that it sets up as like, okay, you got the Chargers, but then you get the Colts. Then you got the Bucks, but then you got the Raiders, who traditionally play very well against home. But then you got the Bills, and then you got to go out to San Francisco, but you got the bye. And then, of course, you get the AFC South coming out of the bye. I mean, you get 2 weeks to prepare for the Titans. And we know Andrew Reid is after the bye week, so there's that. You get Jacksonville, but then you get L.A. on the road, but it's like you got Jacksonville before the game in L.A., before the L.A. double dip. So there's going to be some losses in there. I mean, there's probably 4 or 5 losses. I mean, you could think we do a 12-5. I mean, I think that's the way it'll be. I mean, it might get funky at the end of the season, depending upon how much they need some wins or not. So I could see 12-5. But I think 12-5, the way the AFC West is, here's the thing they can take comfort in. Because they're playing the NFC West, and because they're playing the AFC South, which I think is going to be a little bit more improved. I know that sounds weird, but except for Houston, like Jacksonville's going to be more improved, and they might slip up and get somebody. And then, of course, you know, Indianapolis is usually at least solid, so is Tennessee. But, like, between all that and that tough schedule that the Chiefs have, but everybody's got a tough schedule, the AFC West champion is probably going to end up having 4 or 5 losses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they all have tough schedules. So, I mean, if you get a 12-5 record, I still think that puts you in contention for AFC West crown. But it just might not get you the 1 or 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody like Buffalo might, you know, get some other teams that might have regretted, and like Miami and New York Jets and New England, nobody's really expecting a heck of a lot out of them. The AFC South is a little soft this year, so maybe the Titans or the Colts come out with a better record than expected just because they ain't played nobody. So, I mean, you have to factor that into play. And then I think that one of the bigger wild cards is Baltimore if they stay healthy, because we forgot how good they were before they all got banged up last year. So, I mean, it's an interesting year, but I mean, it's really even. It's really evened out. We saw that really a lot last year in all the close games in the playoffs, where every game could have gone either way. So it's really evened out. This is what the NFL want. They want parity. So, I mean, again, a 5-loss AFC West champion, totally see that. And I mean, I think that's where the Chiefs are, but I mean, 12-5 can become, and I mean, I'm not even joking when I say this, that could become 7-10 real quick if they don't get the right plays at the right time.
Yeah. I guess that's the fun of it. It's also the stress of it, Harold. I look forward to talking to you again whenever there's, you know, real football happening, certainly sometime before that as well. But appreciate you joining us here to break down the spreadsheet and look forward to some action.
All right, Josh. As always, a pleasure.
It's Harold Koontz of Fox 4. You can follow him on Twitter at Harold R. Koontz 3 and watch him on Channel 4 here in Kansas City. I am Joshua Briscoe, across the glass from Rudy Salazar, here with you on the Sports Radio 810 WHB schedule release special presented by Tickets for Less.